morning. The first reading today is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, then they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The second reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as fires appeared among them, and the tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard them speaking in a native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages we hear them, speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one of another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I shall show portents in heavens above, the signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before coming to the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Well done. Some of those names are really hard. Would you join with me in just a prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be aligned with your wondrous love for us, our God, our leader, our light. Amen. All right, big Sunday here in the United Church. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit being received, the start of the Christian Church as we sort of understand it, the beginning of the United Church on Tuesday, 89 years. So we have cake after the service to celebrate. Please stay, have tea, coffee, cake, and chat, and hang out. Get to know each other. Pentecost is also what we call the eighth Sunday after Easter. It's the start of the new season in the church, as I mentioned earlier. And we most often look to the Acts 2 reading, which was the second reading, which makes sense. Happens at the same time of the year, the Jewish Festival of Weeks. But this morning, Brenda also read what's called the Joannine Pentecost, or the Holy Spirit being imparted in John, which happens during Jesus' first post-resurrection appearance to a collection of his followers. We're reading both on purpose. Even though they tell a little bit of a different story, they're both informative for the identity and work of a discipleship community. But we'll start in Acts. So, in those days, it was Pentecost, the Jewish tradition held 7 weeks after Passover, where the law or Torah was given at Mount Sinai. We also might know it as Shavuot. So there are a whole bunch of folks from all around in one place. And it says, suddenly, without warning, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, gale force. I don't know about you, but I read that and I'm instantly brought back to Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And even Genesis 2, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So if we go back to Acts, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Speaking in tongues. There are many ways to interpret this. For folks in a Pentecostal tradition, speaking in tongues, as some of you might have witnessed on TV or some of you in person, is their understanding is that it's the physical manifestation of a person having received the Holy Spirit. It's distinct from conversion, and it's where believers are empowered for witness. Other folks will argue that it was a one-time shot, limited only to the apostolic period necessary for the church's inauguration, but that's it. In my understanding, as we have translated here in the one that Brenda read, the New Standard Revised Version, it's the work of the Spirit breaking down language barriers. Not that they were speaking foreign-sounding sounds, but allowing all who were gathered from all around to be able to hear and to understand the gospel message without the barrier of not speaking the same language. In verses 6 and 7, we hear, "And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of the other. Amazed and astonished, they asked, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?'" That is, from all these different places that Brenda beautifully listed, whose languages would be foreign to them. One of the coolest parts about this passage is that these folks were not united in one universal language. Pentecost is not the reversal of God diversifying the languages at the Tower of Babel. It's God's promise that in and through our diversity, the Spirit works to lead us forward in understanding. There are probably a couple dozen different understandings right here in this room about the concept of speaking in tongues. The good news about that is that we don't need to come to one consensus on anything. Thankfully, we have a faith where we can trust in the not knowing. What we can move forward in is the trust of the Pentecost experience. Trust in a God that honors the multitude of human languages and cultures with no prerequisite for uniformity. Trust in the Spirit, in its unbridled and unrestricted fullness, the Spirit's determination to break down barriers. Now, I don't really feel like I can go forwards without going backwards again. What comes next in our reading is Peter's explanation of this experience, and his explanation is longer than the experience itself. He cites Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, here in the book of Acts, as an interpretation of what has just happened. By doing that, he bridges what comes before with what comes after. Now, what you should understand here is that by doing this, he's giving it authority. Joel's prophecy is the authoritative interpretation in that cultural context. The ancient audience would know those lines in Joel. This is just like in Luke 4. Bye. This is just like in Luke 4 when Jesus begins his ministry. He reads from Isaiah in the temple. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus cannot explain his own ministry without this. Here, Peter cannot explain Pentecost without Joel. Neither Jesus nor the church can be understood outside of Israel's story and Israel's hope. By making these connections, our writer is demonstrating that the early church is faithful to the traditions of Moses. Again, this ancient or early audience would get this relationship. It would be critical even. This thread of signs and symbols of God's presence that echoes all through the Old Testament and now are developing in the New One, weaved the two together. We have a connection between Jesus, Stephen, Moses, Philip, Paul, Barnabas. Signs and wonders accompany the ministries of the leaders of God's community. It's continuity. Another piece of continuity is this listing of nations that happens here in Acts. Now, I know that any time there's a listing of anything, like genealogies, the way we read it or hear it, although Brenda did a really beautiful job, I think most of us hear it as like that Peanuts adult voice. Do you remember that? The like, wah, 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 like as it just gets listed, right? But the cool thing about this is that this is another reference back. This listing of nations acts like an update to the listing of nations back in Genesis 10, Noah's descendants after the flood. Only this one is broader. It's indicating to the Jerusalem church that their mission is universal. The mission of the church. That's the whole point of the book of Acts, right? Like a church instruction manual. Just a quick glimpse back to our John reading today. We touched on it a couple of weeks ago when I spoke about us being called to serve the world through Jesus' words, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then how does he equip them? The Holy Spirit. Here again, we have the disciples getting ready to live out the mission without Jesus and again are equipped with the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. I've also heard that Acts could be named the Acts of the Holy Spirit because it chronicles over and over the work of the Spirit in and through the members of the early church. Really, though, as Peter describes it, Acts is all about this radical new community that was prophesied by Joel and has come to be realized as what we know as the church. The radical thing is the level of inclusivity that they describe. Every kind of people, sons, daughters, young, old, slaves. Membership in this crazy inclusive community we have come to call the Christian church is open to everyone, biblically. It doesn't describe every Christian church. Past the end of our lectionary reading, we have Peter saying, "Change your life, turn to God, receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away." I guess that's where the language part comes in handy. Now, just so you know, this would have been a crazy concept to those who were first hearing it. And now look, we can sit here on our progressive liberal pew chairs and say, well, of course, we are the United Church of Canada. Behold, the gates of holiness are open wide. We sing about it all the time, don't you know? But, yes, there is a but, and actually it's kind of a big one. I want to ask you, are you holding on to an old idea of God and an old idea of church community that does not fit into this Acts description? What are your old ideas about God? Our amazing church that we celebrate today has an awful history of not honoring diversity. How about our residential school's legacy? There are times when our culture, our church, other churches exclude people because of race and culture and custom and behavior from the love of God. But, and there it is again, Peter speaks that this amazing wind, this receiving of the Spirit, is the realization of the words spoken by the prophet Joel of a God who is radically inclusive. Even women will prophesy. The young, the old, the slaves and the free. Yes, the United Church of Canada, we're a pretty inclusive bunch. I think denominationally we get this perhaps better than some, but some of us within the walls of our United Church are still hung up on our old ideas of God, of a hellfire and brimstone, angry, exclusive God. What this passage is asking us to do is to put down our old ideas about God, just like the folks who were there in person, who had a concept of God, were being asked, challenged, to put down the God of barriers, the God that is out there or up there, away, separate, and believe, or at least be willing to believe, in the God that lives here. This week I heard someone describe the difference between belief and faith. He said that faith has an element of knowing. So if we think an atheist believes in the non-existence of God, which actually very few people do, many folks are agnostic. Ag, without, gnostic, knowledge. Meaning that they believe there's something, but haven't had the spiritual experience of knowing. Faith. It's the difference between bowling for the first time and then subsequent times. Before you bowl that ball for the very first time, you're going on belief that it will get down to the end based on seeing other people and having them teach you and tell you how to do it. But then once you have that experience, you know what will happen. You have faith. Not that it will always turn out just the way you want it to, but that it'll get down there somehow. Last week I talked about finding God in the seeking of God. The sermon's on the website if you need a refresher or you weren't here. What we celebrate today is the offering that God made to each of us, to dwell within us, to enliven us, to guide us. And it is that God, not the faraway God up in the sky, but the one that is so invested in us, that God offers to dwell within us, that we are to seek, to begin to believe, or at least be willing to believe. And it's on that willingness that we can move forward in getting to know that God, that radically inclusive God of love, God of new life, allowing those old ideas of God to fall away, making room to explore a God whose wind fills all of us, and allowing that God to turn our belief into faith from the inside out. May it be so for each one of us. Amen.